Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Globalization Paradox: Democracy and the Future of the World Economy is a work of international political economy by Donny Roderick, a Harvard economist known for research on development, trade, institutions, and economic policy. Published in 2011, the book challenges the assumption that deeper global economic integration is always desirable or politically sustainable. Its central purpose is to explain why open markets, democratic decision-making, and national self-determination cannot all be maximized at the same time. Roderick combines economic reasoning with historical analysis, moving from earlier phases of globalization through the gold standard, Bretton Woods, and the late 20th century push toward liberalized trade and finance, rather than rejecting globalization outright. He argues for a more limited and institutionally grounded version that leaves room for domestic social contracts, regulatory diversity, and democratic choice. The book is analytical but accessible, aimed at readers who want to understand the political limits of global markets. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the political trilemma links globalization, democracy, and national sovereignty. The central framework of the book is the political trilemma of the world economy. Roderick argues that societies cannot simultaneously maintain deep economic globalization, democratic politics, and full national sovereignty. At most, they can combine two of these goals. If a country prioritizes national sovereignty and democracy, it must accept limits on global market integration because elected governments need space to regulate, redistribute, and protect domestic institutions. If it prioritizes deep globalization and national sovereignty, democratic choice is constrained because governments must conform to external market expectations and international rules. If it seeks deep globalization and democracy, meaningful authority would have to move beyond the nation-state into some form of global governance, which Roderick views as politically weak and unlikely in the near term. The value of this framework is that it turns globalization from a technical policy question into a constitutional trade-off. It explains why disputes over trade, finance, labor standards, and regulation are not merely misunderstandings among economists, but conflicts over who has authority to make collective choices. Secondly, historical episodes show that globalization survives only when politically embedded. Roderick uses history to show that global markets are not self-sustaining systems. The 19th century gold standard and early globalization created expanding trade and capital flows, but they depended on social and political arrangements that eventually proved fragile. When economic adjustment required domestic populations to bear unemployment, deflation, or financial distress, the political foundations of that system weakened. Bretton Woods represented a different compromise after the Second World War. It supported international trade while permitting capital controls, domestic welfare policies, and national macroeconomic management. In Roderick's interpretation, this was not a retreat from prosperity, but a practical recognition that open economies need domestic legitimacy. The later Washington Consensus and broader push toward hyperglobalization shifted the balance again, treating liberalization and cross-border market access as overriding goals. By comparing these periods, Roderick argues that successful globalization depends less on removing all barriers than on constructing rules that fit political realities. And finally, the historical lesson is not that openness always fails, but that openness becomes unstable when it outruns the institutions that make societies willing to accept it. Thirdly, markets require governance rather than freedom from national institutions. A recurring argument in the book is that markets function only when embedded in rules, norms, and public institutions. Roderick challenges the view that the global economy can be improved mainly by eliminating national policy differences. Property rights, financial regulation, labor law, social insurance, public investment, and dispute resolution are not external burdens on markets. They are part of what makes markets workable. Because these institutions differ across societies, there is no single institutional model that every country should be forced to adopt. This point is especially important for developing countries, which may need policy space to experiment with industrial strategy, exchange rate management, or selective regulation. Roderick does not deny the gains from trade or the usefulness of international rules, but he rejects the idea that economic integration should standardize domestic institutions in the name of efficiency. His reasoning is that institutional diversity can be a source of adaptation, while excessive uniformity can lock countries into unsuitable policy models. The book, therefore, treats national variation not as a defect in globalization, but as a condition for making globalization politically and economically durable. Fourthly, democratic legitimacy should take priority when global rules clash with social contracts. Roderick places democracy at the center of his critique because global economic rules often affect distribution, employment, regulation, and public services. These are not neutral technical matters. They shape the social contract within a country. when trade agreements or financial liberalization restrict what elected governments can do, citizens may experience globalization as a loss of control rather than a source of shared prosperity. Roderick argues that this creates a legitimacy problem even when aggregate economic gains exist. A policy that raises total income can still be politically damaging if its costs are concentrated, if compensation is weak, or if citizens believe that domestic priorities have been subordinated to external pressures. The book, therefore, insists that democratic societies must retain the ability to protect social arrangements that their citizens value, including welfare states, labor standards, and regulatory systems. This does not mean every protectionist demand is justified. Rather, it means that international economic commitments should be designed with democratic accountability in mind. For Roderick, the stability of globalization depends on allowing national political communities to decide how much openness they can sustain. Lastly, smart globalization favors modest international rules over maximal integration. Roderick proposes a model often described as smart globalization. It accepts that cross-border commerce can produce major benefits, but it rejects the pursuit of the deepest possible integration as an end in itself. The alternative is a lighter international framework that manages friction among different national systems, rather than trying to erase those differences. His principles include embedding markets in governance, recognizing the nation-state as the main arena of democratic politics, allowing multiple paths to prosperity, respecting domestic institutional choices, and avoiding the imposition of one country's model on others. This approach also implies that international agreements should focus on preventing harmful spillovers and beggar-thy-neighbor behavior, not on narrowing every domestic policy difference that affects trade. A practical strength of this view is that it acknowledges political constraints instead of assuming them away. A limitation is that it can be difficult to decide when a national policy is a legitimate social choice and when it unfairly harms others. Even so, the book's contribution is to redefine good globalization as a negotiated balance, not as the maximum possible removal of barriers. In conclusion, The Globalization Paradox is best suited for readers who want a serious but readable account of why globalization produces recurring political conflict. It is especially useful for students of economics, international relations, public policy, and political science, as well as policymakers and general readers trying to understand trade disputes, financial instability, populist reactions, and debates over national policy space. Its practical benefit is not a detailed policy manual, but a disciplined way to identify trade-offs that are often hidden in debates about competitiveness and openness. Readers gain a clearer vocabulary for asking whether a proposed rule strengthens prosperity without undermining democratic legitimacy or domestic institutional diversity. Compared with many books on globalization, Roderick's work stands out because it avoids both simple anti-globalization arguments and unqualified free market optimism. It accepts the economic value of international exchange, while questioning the political wisdom of hyperglobalization. Its historical range also distinguishes it from narrower policy commentaries, showing that different eras have balanced markets and governance in different ways. The book remains relevant because its core claim is structural global markets cannot remain legitimate if they consistently override the political choices of national communities. For readers seeking a framework rather than a slogan, it offers one of the clearest accounts of globalization's democratic limits. If you would like to support Danny Roderick, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.